Joining us now, it's our returning champion. Every Friday about this time, you can hear him most of the time. State Senator Chris Elliott of Daphne joining us on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
Great day, and great to be on, and great to be back in Baldwin County.
Yeah, so what a fun week it was there in Montgomery. I guess I know a lot got done. I guess it slowed down just a little bit from those first couple of weeks, but a lot seems to be getting done in the upper chamber there. You guys are passing some bills and moving right along. But the one we talked most about here the last few weeks is comprehensive gambling, the comprehensive gambling proposal Senator Marsh has. Does 2.0 have any life in your opinion?
You know, that's a really good question, and I will simply say the jury is still out on that. We really haven't seen 2.0. I think it's reasonable to say that if 1.0 had the votes to move forward, it would have. I think that's pretty clear to folks that watch the legislature closely. You know, you mentioned comprehensive gambling, I think that's a good thing to call this. The problem is, you know, the folks I talk to aren't necessarily into comprehensive gambling. They want a lottery, and they're asking me, why is all this other stuff stuck on it? And I think that's a perfectly reasonable question.
But it's a reasonable question, but you know this issue as well as I do. The reasonable reply is it's not getting out of the House with the roadblocks unless you allow these other entities to attach their wagon to it.
And yes, that is the answer. That is the choice that is likely going to be before my colleagues. Do you allow the special interest, the gambling special interest, to end up writing this legislation or having their fingerprints all over it in order to get a lottery? Is that the price you pay? And is that too high a price? And I hate to say it, but I think in large part that's what's going on. Now, to your point, that's the way things happen an awful lot in Montgomery. But I mean, when you see these sites and you see these special carve outs where you see winners and losers in the gaming industry being picked, I mean, those are those fingerprints all over the place. And everybody's got to get their piece in order to, you know, say yes. Again, my constituents and the folks I'm worried about just want a lottery.
Yeah, but just getting that lottery, it's such a complicated thing to understand or get a grasp of, and I just get to explain that to people. I think if anything out of this process, we're going to find that people are getting an education on this, and maybe that has some impact on the situation. Maybe that makes, you know, if it doesn't happen this time, and it won't happen next year, obviously, maybe when we come back to it, people understand the issue, and there will be a little more pushback, or it won't be as much leverage some of these entities have over you guys in the legislature.
Well, and I think that's the part that a lot of us are frankly finding, you know, having issues with, if you will, is that, you know, this is being sold as, well, you can't get a clean lottery bill unless you got all this other stuff in it. And you are starting to see members of the legislature, and particularly the Senate, obviously, because that's where we're talking about right now, start asking questions like, you know, we keep adding things to try to get everybody happy, but the more you add, the more you start looking at people people start looking at you going, I'm not okay with this. This is too much. And I'm afraid that might be where we are. It's just too much.
Senator, I forgot about this, but we were talking off air, but governor extending the mask mandate, but doing it till April 9th, there was some reports out that maybe it was going to end today, not the case, one more month. Are you okay with that? How do you feel about the reasoning there?
You know, as long as there's a mask mandate, there's an emergency situation that the governor is in control of. She's seen her way to use the pandemic to exercise broad emergency powers well outside of any public health emergency justification. And you know, here we go with a continued mask mandate. You know, as people get vaccinated, whether it's good policy or not. I see him obviously not wearing the mask anymore. April 9th is at least some light at the end of the tunnel, so I'll give her credit. If I'm trying to be positive, Jeff, I'll give her credit for at least putting an end to it where we can all, you know, move on. But I just always am worried that this state of emergency continues to exist and these broad emergency powers continue to exist, tied in no small part to this little piece of fabric on our face. And as long as that's there, there's these emergency powers that exist as well.
Well, I tell you, Senator, the thing about it, though, is how do you know what April 9th is going to look like, number one? But it doesn't seem to suggest that we'll be done with it then, which is well over a month from now, and not knowing what the circumstances are. But then in the same breath, say, but we're doing this based on science. You've been saying that all along. It does seem to undermine the message here from the governor's office on this.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, the whole thing, you know, every time we've talked about extensions of emergency orders or mask mandates or restrictions on occupancy or closing the beaches, it's all, we're basing this on science, and we'll make an evaluation when we get there. We're not going to put a date certain out there because we don't know what the situation will be like. And then here we are. We've got a date certain out there without knowing what the situation is going to look like. And it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't mesh with anything that's been said previously. I'm just ready. I think, like everybody else, for this to be behind us, get back to normal governance and normal life, and hopefully, you know, we can restore some separation of powers and get back to it. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. When I saw this April 9th thing, I went, I wonder what they're trying to get done before April 9th that doesn't have anything to do with that. What am I missing?
It's so cynical, right? But you can't help it.
What contract are we trying to slip in or sign for a couple $1 billion? You know, what deal are we trying to make that we can do under the justification of a health emergency? And you're right, with this administration, obviously I'm a cynic, I'm a critic, and that's just where we are based on past performance.
Well, let's talk about what you guys are doing to maybe change that. Now, Senator Barfoot had a bill that would give you guys the ability, or I guess a constitutional amendment, that would give the legislature the ability to call itself into session. Surprisingly, there's a lot of people in the House that think that's a terrible idea. But looking at some of the other things to roll back executive power, we hemmed and hawed about a special session, and a lot of people want a special session just to have a check on the governor. It's not clear to me that any of those checks are going to get accomplished this time around.
Yeah, I was pretty discouraged to hear of some of the opposition in the House from, you know, my House colleagues down there. I think that these measures stand a good chance of getting out of the Senate, where they may have not already fared very well in the House. And that's a little surprising to me. I guess I wasn't reading the tea leaves down there as well as I should be. But, you know, my colleagues in the Senate are ready to move Senator Barfoot's bill. I am, for sure. That's the companion of Representative Norder's bill, of course. The bar for calling and keeping us in session is incredibly high. You know, a joint resolution by the pro tem and the speaker, and then a two-thirds vote of both bodies to stay in the session and to consider any legislation, that is an incredibly high bar. And I think could only be used in the most extreme of circumstances. And I'm not convinced that in this circumstance would be used. I'm not convinced that we could have even used it in this circumstance. But to say that we don't even need a method, I think is not a good idea. We clearly have seen that we need a method.
And my good friend Todd Stacey came on here yesterday, not typically an opinionated guy, kind of a straight news guy, but said that this, the idea that the legislature would have the power to call itself into session is beyond the historic norms and traditions. We wanted a legislature with has a lot of power, but we wanted to make sure they were only there for a shorter span of time to limit some of that power. And the idea that they could call themselves into special session would be a gross abuse of power. And here's the question I posed to him. What if you have a situation like Robert Bentley, the legislature's not in session, and you've got to act to impeach? Does you know, whatever wrongdoing, does it have to wait till February of the next year? Doesn't seem quite right to me.
It doesn't, and it's not. And this current situation has shown an awful lot of light on that. And while I would agree with, you know, 80% of what Todd said on that topic there, I would say this bill is a properly formatted alternative that gives you the ability to, in the most extreme of circumstances, and only in the most extreme of circumstances, to call yourself back into session to govern where there is some abuse of power or some other thing going on that needs to be addressed and may, in fact, in its own right, be considered an emergency.
And the other thing about this measure, if it makes it through the Senate to the House, that it gets to go to a vote of the people. You're amending the Alabama Constitution. So it's not a situation where you guys go to Montgomery, vote yourself more power. There's a component there where the public gets some buy-in.
Absolutely. And that's exactly how it should be. I mean, there is a process for amending the Constitution so that if there is a situation, you know, where the folks that drafted it looked at it and said, if we need to change this, there's a process for that. They, you know, both on the federal and on the state level. And that is it is working exactly as it should. We're seeing situations in where we think we need to make some changes. And those changes are, I hope, going to be put before the people so they have an opportunity to address it.
Yeah, I think KIV did herself a disservice when she decided to go with the herd of turtles remark, because it just got everybody paying attention to this. But I we talk to Phil Williams from API all the time, and we have these discussions. There does seem to be an imbalance in power in the three branches in government, and you know, Ivy maybe drew attention to it, but you know, you don't have a part-time governor, but you have a part-time legislature. Does it seem like the balance is a little off right now?
It is, and it's never a good idea to make public policy based on somebody that may be in office, right? Don't make public policy. Don't vote for a constitutional amendment one way or the other just because of who's in office at the current time. But having said that, use the examples that are before you and that we have seen here currently as and let them be instructive on whether or not, when pushed to the edge, we have the tools that we need in order to check each other, and that separation of powers is healthy, and that's what you're seeing right now. Has the governor pushed far enough to get legislators' attention? Sure, there's a myriad of bills, from the state health officer to constitutional amendments to, you know, changing all kinds of things around, and that is because this governor has pushed the envelope far enough to have the system work as it should. The legislature is in session now, and it is considering measures to limit the governor's emergency powers. It is considering measures to make the state health officer an appointee of the governor, so there's some responsibility there to an elected official, and it is considering measures to, in extraordinary circumstances, bring itself back in to session in order to govern and to provide the concept of checks and balances and the concept of separation of powers in a practical sense.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this, Senator. Jim McClendon, our friend from Springville, has a bill out that would completely change the way the state health officer is appointed, do away with the medical association that picks the state health officer and install another means. A lot of people on this bill. What do you think? Is there enough movement on this to change the way we appoint a state health officer in Alabama?
There are three different boards in Alabama: the Medical Association Board, Board of Medical Examiners. You know, there are different boards that are set up to do different things. Public Health Board. Okay, and if you look right now at the top list of names on those three separate boards, you will find the exact same people. Now, that you have to start wondering about, and why you've got the same people on three separate boards. Senator Clinton's been picking on this for a while, and bringing, you know, shining a little bit of light on it. I think that while I don't completely agree with where he may end up on it, I agree with him asking the questions and accordingly have supported this legislation so far. So I, you know, that's another one of those checks and balances things. This is our job, is to protect the public and be the watchdog and be your representative. And when you see something like this that looks a little off, it's our job to go look at it. And that's what he's trying to do with this legislation. The health officer thing is pretty self-explanatory. I mean, right now we've got an unelected bureaucrat appointed by one of these boards that that has a tremendous amount of power. You got to wonder if that's a good idea. He puts it under the governor, so at least that person, the cabinet-level official, is responsible, at least ultimately, to somebody that the people can either elect or unelect. And I think that's probably a good idea.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but it's always good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. That was State Senator Chris Elliott on the program.